In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Mark, the 9th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the beginning, God made man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then, that image was lost. It was marred, stained, obliterated, destroyed. Whatever you want to call it, the image of God was not the same, no longer recognizable. God wasn't destroyed. Man wasn't destroyed. But the image of God in man, that's what was lost. That original righteousness, holiness, love, and peace. That original joy and connection, that relationship between man and God and the rest of creation, it was all gone in one act of disobedience, in one moment of unholy lust and pride. From that sharing of the forbidden fruit, man was no longer fully man. He was no longer the way he was created to be, no longer an image. An icon of God himself. He was no longer holy. That imageless man is how we all began. We came into this world bearing the image, not of God, but of sinful, disobedient man. And for that matter, our image reflected the joy of Satan, not God. That's what we call original sin. It runs through our veins and into our mind. It pollutes our thoughts and desires. It curves us inward, selfishly, on ourselves. This image is a very dark image. It's a heavy weight around our necks, pulling us down each day. Every once in a while, we peer in on our own sinful image, and we are frightened. Frightened of who we are as sons and daughters of Adam. We're scared that our sin might become known to all, that our crimes might be revealed, that our hate, that our anger would rear its ugly face. That's who we are. That's who we are apart from God in Christ. Dark, without the image of God, unholy, poor, miserable, no good, ugly, filthy, smelly, rotten, lazy bunch of sinners. That's who you were. But something happened to you. Something changed you, transfigured you. You are no longer without the image of God. No longer are you bound to Satan and his lies. You are not an image or icon of that thief and destroyer, but you are an image of God. You reflect his face. His glory lights your eyes and it fills your soul and it now runs through your veins. That's what the Feast of Transfiguration is all about. It's all about restoring who we properly are. And who we are meant to be. And none of that can happen or be worthwhile if it's not ultimately about Jesus Christ. Now, today marks a major transition in the church year. It's the last day of Epiphany. And what comes next is Lent. Epiphany is all about revealing who Jesus is as God and man together in one flesh. And Lent is all about the cross, that one flesh, Jesus Christ, God and man dying for you. But as God would have it, Jesus' divinity belongs with the cross only when we put the two together. Do we recognize Jesus correctly? So the Transfiguration is a brilliant transition from Epiphany to Lent, from the Magi to the Sanhedrin, from the wooden stable to the wooden cross, from the golden gift to the silver betrayal, from the waters of the Jordan and the Canaan wine, to the water and blood pouring out of his pierced side. It's at a Mount of Transfiguration that we are moved from one to the other. Just as Moses took Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu up the mountain to behold the glory of God, so also our Lord took Peter, James, and John, where they beheld his glory. The appearance of his face was altered, and Moses and Elijah were there in glory, speaking of his exodus. That is, they spoke of how Jesus was going to free the world from our slavery to sin, death, the devil. That is why St. Mark notes that as they were coming down the mountain, he charged these disciples to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. From them, for St. Paul, and for us, it's all about Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and the life of the world. That's Lent. That's Epiphany. That's the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, after the transfiguration, on the next day, Jesus casts out a demon from a boy. While they marveled at his work, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." So here we are on the Mount Tabor, where the transfiguration took place with Moses and Elijah, Peter and James and John. And the whole thing is about the suffering and death of Jesus. But none of the disciples understand what Jesus says, and they are afraid to ask him. That's not surprising, given that earlier, St. Mark tells us in chapter 8, right before the transfiguration event, when Peter made that great confession, "You are the Christ," and Jesus begins to explain what it means to be the Christ, that he must suffer, Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. Peter cannot stand the thought of a suffering Messiah. "There's not glory in that," he rations. Perhaps that's why Peter doesn't want to go down into the suffering, but build three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. "Rabbi," he says, "it is good that we are here." But then God actually says otherwise. A cloud came and overshadowed them. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And this brings us back to the point of transfiguration. It's about Christ, and therefore also about who we are and who we are intended to be in Jesus. Our sin, which is always curved in on ourselves, would flee from any suffering if it got the chance. Our sin would have denied the cross, fled from death, just to stay put on that mountain. But Christ, whose face is now set toward Jerusalem, where he will suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed on the third day, only to be raised, Jesus does not deny his cross. He does not deny his suffering. He does not deny his pain or bitter death. He embraces it. Because by embracing his cross, he embraces all of humanity, all of what God has created in his image, after his likeness, is being restored by the way of the cross. There, the glory of God is fully revealed. There, our lost image is found and restored. Our sin is put away. Our death is defeated. Do not listen to the voice of your sin that cringes in the face of pain, suffering, and the cross. Listen to him, to Christ, who stands transfigured before you today, his face brighter than the sun, and his clothing a dazzling white, and what goes for him goes for you. As St. Paul says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another." That's the transfiguration, the revelation of who this Christ really is, the Son of the Father, the light of the world. And in Christ, that's you too. You bear the image of God. You are made into his likeness. And you will bear the cross. You will suffer. You will die. But then on the third day, you will rise to new and eternal life with your eternal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever. Amen.